This is Josh Denny, and you are listening to March of the Pigs.
Step right up.
So this is a fun, it's good to be back to normal episodes of March of the Pigs.
Yeah, we don't have to listen to people complaining about, oh, I can't hear the Skype person.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah, the feed keeps cutting out on my end. I don't know, are you on a Packard Bell?
What are we, audio engineers?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of
yeah,
here.
Yeah, it's so fun. We're sitting here, that part that we just spent 30 minutes talking about in the beginning will be cut out. But so nobody will know what we're talking about. Unless I just get a wild hair up my ass and go, how about 13 minutes of audio gear talk at the beginning of this? But we're learning as we go. We don't know what the hell we're doing.
Yeah, for sure.
The thing that's interesting to me, though, about that is I'm like, what the hell am I doing? And I'll ask people that I think know this stuff better than me. And they're like, oh, we haven't even played around with that yet.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, oh, well, we're actually ahead of the, like, we're trying to learn how to do the new stuff, and a lot of people aren't even messing with.
Yeah, that's happened to me because I've had to figure out engineering stuff. And I actually at one point asked about recording into the iPod for the live streams, and the advice I got was so wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it was just 100% wrong.
Yeah, people had no idea, like, how to even. Yeah, the whole Mevo camera thing is new.
Yeah.
And I don't even think Facebook software integrates with it very well yet.
No.
But there are some people that go live. I don't know if they're using TriCasters, that we're getting back into it. But I don't know if they're using like TriCaster program. There are people that are like putting full-blown TV shows on Facebook Live where it's like it cuts from this camera angle, cuts to that camera angle.
I think you have to just set up multiple cameras and get a switcher.
The problem with that,
and then,
it's a TriCaster.
Yeah.
But those are like $10,000.
Well, they have apps now, too.
Like, well, Ustream has a way to do that where you can, on a Ustream feed, you can have like five USB cameras or something, like web cameras.
Yeah.
And you can switch between in the Ustream software, but.
Yeah, there's a service called Livestream that sells a really inexpensive switcher.
Oh, okay.
But the problem is to get, they limit the number of people who can watch.
Oh.
Unless you get...
Because it can't support the bandwidth.
Right. Unless you get the most expensive plan, which I think is $200 a month.
Right.
And that's not in my...
Which opinion. Only works if you're pulling like, you know...
Right.
30,000 live viewers or something.
Switching over to YouTube for live streaming and just doing it right through the iPhone.
Yeah, you could do that.
Because I sometimes wonder
the fact that you can't drone this Mevo camera to use any app is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's I don't like that.
It's like you have an auto-focusing camera. You decided you're going to only make it for Facebook.
Yeah, it's only for
or live
Facebook
stream.
Live stream.
Right.
Or it is good for recording. Like it's good for just recording.
But you can't live broadcast outside of Facebook or live stream.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is garbage.
So, I mean, the reason we're talking about all this is because if you've watched Bike Companion in the last... month or whatever, 6 weeks we've done.
Yeah.
It, then you're like, oh, what the hell? It ain't working. But I will say it worked pretty flawlessly. We got it right at the very end.
Yeah.
Because that last episode, you could hear the Skype well. The last one we did Skype, which I think was Janelle's episode, that came in well. And then the last episode with the three of us in the studio, it worked fine. So, But it's good to be back to these because we can just record these and put them up whenever. Yeah. I'm kind of excited to get back on the road and doing Ginormous Food and doing these podcasts out of my hotel rooms, which is always fun.
Yeah, that's always a nightmare. I've had to do that a few times.
There's so many noises in hotel rooms.
Yeah.
That you can't do anything about. Like, oh, shit, the pool generator outside my window is on.
Right.
So that's on for an hour, and there's nothing anyone can do about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of variables when you're trying to record on the road.
Rape, murders, no, just happening in the room. Hey, guys,
we're doing
a podcast in here. Can you, whatever's happening over there, can you shut it down? Thanks.
I tried to record a podcast when I was on the road with Portugal the Man, and we had the best microphones. We had the best equipment, and we could not, the only thing we couldn't figure out is if while we were recording, it was actually recording.
Oh, wow.
like we kind of thought it would, but we weren't sure. And right. I was like, no, I'm not going to do an hour podcast
and just not have it.
Yeah. Cause it was like the last night I was on the tour and there was this German rapper named Casper, who's fucking great. He's going to be on my podcast again soon.
What podcast is that, Adam?
It's called Unpopular Opinion, Josh.
Oh, wow.
It's a whole network called Unpops.
Yeah.
The Unpops Podcast Network. Look it up on iTunes.
People should know about it.
But
by now, if you don't,
he was garbage. Like the last in the line. Because you know when you go on tour with people.
Someone's, I was like, I've never been on tour with Casper, but okay.
Someone's going to get sick, and then that person's going to make everyone sick, and everyone's going to get fucking sick. And it was his last night of the tour, and he was the last person to get sick. So right before he had to get on an hours-long flight to Germany, he gets the road flu,
right?
Basically.
Oh, yeah, that is a real thing, the road flu.
Yeah, I get it every time.
Yeah, I got it. I got it the last time I came home with it from filming the first group of episodes. But some of that, too, is like me not taking care of my health and not... Like, not, I mean, I have a totally different approach to...
For me.
Yeah. I have a totally different approach to trying to make sure I'm in better shape physically and mentally before going into this filming, because it beats the shit out of you. Like, I've discovered that I had silent reflux on the last run of episodes, which...
Oh, wow.
Have you ever... You know what that is?
No, but I can imagine.
It's acid reflux that basically when you're asleep, the bottom level of your esophagus or the bottom sphincter...
Yeah.
Doesn't close. So sometimes when you're laying down, if you eat acidic foods or you eat too late before bed, the bile just creeps all the way back up your esophagus and then into your throat.
Yeah.
And then you start, you wake up choking in the middle of the night. And so I had that happen one of the last nights we were filming, and then I had a sore throat for like 3 months afterwards.
Yeah.
Now what I didn't realize is I had it for 3 months because I kept eating acidic foods. I wasn't using antacids properly, and I was drinking like carbonated soda.
Yeah.
Which if you have like an acid burned larynx and voice box, don't do those things.
Yeah, but it's hard to, I've known people with acid reflux. It's hard to, when it first starts happening, it's hard to connect throat pain and what you're eating.
Right.
Like that always feels like a cold or something.
Right, it does. Well, yeah. And I was like, and I'm sure I still have, like, I had really bad tonsillitis when I went to Hawaii in 2010.
Yeah.
From uncleaned, I really should have sued the Sheraton because they had like, I guarantee you if I would have sent a team in there to check their air filtration, it was moldy and disgusting.
Oh.
It smelled moldy and disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not like, can you move me to the other room with the same air filtration? Like, you can't move out of that situation. So, and they were going through like a renovation at the time, so I'm sure that wasn't helping. They're probably like ripping asbestos out of part of the hotel and then shooting it through the air vents into everyone else's rooms. But I had my tonsils explode. I've never had them out. So I'm sure that compounds the reflux problem. And I've always had the heartburn issue, but never to the point where it's like creeping up into my throat while I sleep.
Yeah.
And I had it again. Like I ate shitty spicy food super late. I had like a leftover lasagna at like 12 at night.
Oh, yeah.
And then like went to bed at 1:30. And when I woke up at 5 in the morning, it was because I was choking on stomach bile.
Well, it's a good thing we didn't eat anything that would give a person heartburn tonight.
No. No, not at all. We jumped into Indian food for the first time. Yeah, you got me to do it.
You had never had Indian food, you which is crazy.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy.
But it's crazy, but not really. I've known a lot of people that I've introduced to Indian food.
Yeah. And you introduced me to it tonight. And it was, and it's funny because I don't want to sit here and say that I had it once and didn't like it, therefore I'd never tried it again. But yeah, that might be the case. I honestly think I've had so many Indian adjacent foods,
right,
that I didn't like, that I just assumed I won't like Indian food. Because right, as we talked about on Bike Companion, I hate Sri Lankan. I've had Sri Lankan, but I haven't had Indian.
Yeah.
It's super gross. I hate Persian food. But that could just be because my girlfriend's mother doesn't know how to cook it properly.
Yeah. What is, is that like Iranian?
Iranian food. Yeah, because I guess Persian food would include Greek food too, technically.
Yeah.
So I should be more specific. The Iranian food I've had is gross. But it's also like she doesn't salt anything. She doesn't like season. So I don't know what traditional Iranian food is supposed to taste like if it's seasoned properly, because they just don't season their food.
Yeah, it's hard to know. I would never want to try a new ethnic cuisine cooked by someone at home.
Right.
Because I want some restaurant credentials behind that, because I get that you have a really great Ethiopian friend, but can she cook, or is she just a good accountant who has to cook and happens to cook Ethiopian food but kind of does a shitty job?
Right, like that.
I say cook like Ethiopian food isn't just chopped up tomatoes with vinegar on it.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. That's another food where I'm just like, nah.
You're not missing a goddamn thing.
Okay, so my culinary racism is accurate with the Ethiopian food.
Yeah, I mean it's just gonna be that way. It's not like people. Like you can't just be like, I don't like Ethiopians. Like people are gonna get up in arms about that. But I feel like as a society, we're allowed to say, no, Ethiopian food is bullshit.
Yeah.
Maybe they haven't been making it for that long.
Yeah.
You know, we like only since the 80s we had to record the song. And
then you're going back to this.
I never give up on that. No.
Yeah. Well, hopefully with the exposure that your show gets and then my show gets, hopefully we can bring awareness to the turn in your copy of We Are the World.
Yeah.
And get your free meal of Ethiopian food. Although I got to be honest, I would probably ask for my copy of We Are the World back from what you tell me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ethiopian food is, it's hard to explain. It's like that Indian food we ate tonight had no spices and we had to eat it with our hands.
That's Sri Lankan food, by the way. That's what Sri Lankan food. It's Indian food without the spices and you eat it with your hands.
Yeah.
In front of other people. Like I don't, it's creepy to me, but I would rather be naked in front of a room of 1,000 than to sit across intimately from another person who's just eating with their hands.
Yeah.
Like with just, and leaves, you leave, you don't lick your fit. Like I could understand if you get something on your hands and you lick your fingers at the table so you don't look like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But these guys are just sitting there with what looks like mashed potato fingers and they're just sitting there with them like,
yeah,
talking with their hands like they don't have shit mashed potato fingers. And you're just flicking them around like we're all fine having whatever that paste is on our clothes and our person.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe that is your problem with Indian food. Because if you try. Yeah. The offshoot, the closest.
And I love Greek food.
Greek food's amazing.
Greek food's great.
The closest thing to Indian food, which this probably isn't that surprising, is Pakistani food.
Yeah.
Those are pretty much the same.
But one of those foods is our friends, and the other one isn't. Right. I don't know the.
One let bin Laden hide in their country. One still has a space program.
Okay. I couldn't tell you.
And various other
trivia,
differences.
I'm tapping out because I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure that's it. That's the estimation of their differences. I just know I had one Pakistani friend growing up and no Indian friends, and a Pakistani kid was pretty cool, so I guess I'm cool with them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you make a decision in that
conflict.
Well,
I think that's more realistic than, or it's a little bit more valid than just being like just pointing on a map and going, I've never been there. I don't know anybody from there, but I believe in you.
Yeah.
It's like rooting for other countries in the Olympics. Once the Americans are out, you're just either picking who you think is the most dominant athlete or who has the prettiest flag if you're a woman.
Yeah.
Because that's how they pick, I think.
And they win the pool every fucking time.
I know. They're just like, let's go with. Are there any flags, though, that like athletically are definitely destined to fail, but they're flags that you would want to root for? Like, I feel like Croatia has like a cool flag. And yeah. then you're just like, nah, he ain't winning nothing.
Yeah, they're not going to win a goddamn
Kazakhstan
thing.
Is a cool flag. Isn't that the one with the eagle on it?
I don't know. I'm not that familiar with other countries' flags.
Well, probably shouldn't be.
Yeah, just because.
Not in Trump's America.
Yeah,
anyway.
From the United States.
There's only one flag that you need to know in this country, and it's the Russian flag. It's two colors, red and red.
I actually have a CCCP shirt.
From when it was communist?
No, I Isn't got that... it on like $6 shirts or something because cool. I just thought, man, that's a cool shirt. And now I feel like I might get investigated by the National Security Council.
What's their thing? Is the iron, what is it? The
hammer and the sickle?
Yeah, that's the coolest. They got good branding, the Russians.
I don't know. Islam, the what do they have?
I don't know.
They have a sickle
it's a woman.
A star,
it's a woman,
right?
Being hung by a car she can't drive, isn't it?
There's a flag that's like a sickle and a star that's pretty bad.
No, that's, I think, Turkey or Turkey. Oh, is it Turkey? Turkish? I don't know. Anybody who studied flags is punching the walls in their apartment right now while we're just trying to estimate. Yeah. Oh, no, that's Istanbul's flag, I think.
Yeah.
Is Istanbul still a country? I don't. Why did this
I thought
turn
that's
into,
in. Isn't that.
It's well, it used to be Constantinople.
In
Istanbul is in a place.
Isn't it in Turkey?
It's in Turkey. I was
we're
right.
We're so
the first
good
time.
At this.
Yeah. If Jeff is listening to this, he's gonna punch us both in the junk when he sees us next time.
Oh, that's fine.
That's normal.
Yeah.
Well, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back and see how the Indian food did.
Yes.
By my judgments.
Judgment night.
All right, so Indian food, I got to be honest, I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
We ordered from this place called Gill's.
Which, as it turns out, one of the most common Indian last names.
That blew my mind when you said it. I would think it would be Sundeep.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Gill.
But Gill's, it's in downtown
Sounds
LA.
Sounds like a fish restaurant.
I don't know if I told you that. I try not to tell people this until after they've tried the food. But it's actually...
Oh, no.
It's actually...
Please don't ever start a sentence like that after we've eaten.
It's actually located in a residential motel in downtown LA.
Okay. So what was that extra flavor? Syphilis?
Yeah, the hotel it's in is terrifying, which this is good times. Go on the Yelp page for that hotel and just read the reviews from like...
What's the name of the hotel?
Comic book convention fucksticks who were just like on TripAdvisor.
Getting the cheapest
and thought,
hotel.
Oh, downtown LA for $49 a night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're staying in a tent on Skid Row.
It's... Yeah, what is it called? Let me look it up.
Although, if I were my father's son, I would say that if you asked me, Josh, if you've never had Indian food before... Where do you think you should get it? And I would go out of a hotel because that's where they live.
Yeah. But see here, you.
It's so terrible. But my friend that was Pakistani in elementary school, by the way, his family owned hotels and liquor stores.
Now, see this. I don't know if you have somewhere you can post this for
see,
people
yeah,
listening.
Yeah, I will.
But
if you can just save these, I'll post them in the show notes on the page. Can make like a little slideshow.
You wouldn't look at this and think, oh, that place is in the seediest motel in downtown Los Angeles.
No, that actually looks like a Vegas.
Yeah. But this is.
It looks like a Vegas hotel restaurant.
Yeah, this is the front of the hotel that it's in.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
my
shit.
God.
Where'd it go? That I clicked on.
Oh, I think it's giving you like a Google images. There's the front. Well, that front looks nice. That's like a professionally shot.
Yeah.
Christmas
see,
picture
you can see like
from the day the hotel opened in 1940, whatever.
Yeah. But it's one of these residential places that when you walk in, the lobby probably looks great because they've tried to.
Oh no! So it's a shit box. It's like an old Red Roof Inn.
It's like the Cecil, basically.
Oh yeah, no, that's the best example you can give.
And the Cecil is terrifying.
Yeah, look. Oh God. Yeah,
yeah, that's the Stillwell.
If your hotel, if your historic hotel has an external fire escape and it's not in New York City, I'm not staying there.
Yeah,
like I understand if it's got an external fire escape and we're in like Manhattan and the building's 176 years old. That's fine. But like, this is Los Angeles. You don't get to have buildings with external fire escapes anymore.
That's the full building.
Oh, I know where that is.
Yeah.
And isn't that right next to where Quincy did his special?
Yeah, it might be.
I think it is. I think it's like right next door to it.
And yeah, this place, it's a terrifying hotel, but there's apparently the bar in the lobby is really good. And then there's also Gil's Indian Restaurant, which is amazing.
Pretty great.
It's actually one of my two favorite Indian places in LA.
Now, the other one you said is in Santa Monica. Now I'm going to have to try that one too so I can compare.
The chicken tikka masala at the one in Santa Monica is more traditional.
Okay. But see, I don't know if I would like that because this chicken tikka masala was pretty good.
Yeah, it's great. It has a different flavor than most.
And it was sort of like, it's almost like a really nice tomato bisque, like a spicy tomato bisque with chicken in it.
With chicken in it, and then you eat it with rice. Or
and we had some sagnamoon. What is it?
Sag paneer.
Sagnamoon. I forgot it already. Sag paneer. That was good too.
Yeah.
I was shitting on it as it looks horrifying. Yeah, it does. It does. And I assume that's why I never.
It's just like spinach cooked.
It's just hunks of cheese
cooked into an oblivion.
Yes.
With hunks of cheese in
that's
it.
That's what I said. I go, looks like they just blend everything and then you just pour it over your
rice.
Yeah,
it looks like food for people who broke a jaw.
Yeah, who don't have teeth.
Broke a jaw.
Yeah, just one of the jaws. Yeah. It looks like food for people that don't have teeth.
Yeah.
So that was my argument with you. It's like, it's all mush and it's made by people who don't wear shoes. I got a real problem with this.
But the spices are so great.
It was pretty good. It was really well, and here's the interesting thing. One of the things I'm really into now since the show is like anybody can make one component of a meal good.
Yeah.
But there's two restaurants I've eaten at recently, or two, I guess, plates of food I've eaten recently where it's like I take a bit of one thing on the fork, a bit of another thing on the fork, and I eat it together. And if it plays perfectly, then that's a great bite of food.
Yeah.
And this was one of them. This was good. Like the sag paneer, did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
And the chicken tikka masala with the rice underneath. Like if you get a little moosh of both and a little bit of rice together and you eat it in one bite, they play off each other perfectly. So it was really good. And the garlic naan. I made the comment to you, like, the rest of my pizza is missing because I could have eaten an entire circular flatbread of that
garlic naan. There's places, me and my girlfriend went to an Indian place like a week ago that was on the Food Network just because of the garlic naan.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was.
Was it on Triple D or?
I don't remember. Hmm. She would have to tell me that. And I don't know if she's eavesdropping enough on us to
jump in.
Oh, is that was the best food I ever ate? Was the name of the show?
You can join. Well, it was on the best food I ever ate.
Yeah,
that's what it's called. Is that a Mark Summers show?
No, it had a bunch of Food Network personalities talking about.
Oh, it's an ensemble show.
Oh yeah,
I don't care.
Talking Heads show.
Yeah, I don't get invited to those yet. I think you gotta have like 30 eps under your belt before you get invited to the panels.
Yeah, but Al Noor in
that's
the name of the place.
That's pretty good.
And it's really good. And then Tandoor India is the place in Santa Monica. That
aren't they all called like Tandoor or Tandoori or Tandoori?
Yeah, there's a lot of Tandoor or India.
I would name mine Tanadorium, like Sanitarium, and I would have all.
That
I would
should have, be the name of this episode.
I would have, yes, it will be called Tanadorium, and I would have all pictures of Metallica, but they would have Indian guys' heads on the bodies. Kirk Hammett, you could leave alone because he looks like he already fits.
Yeah,
but yeah, I would just
Kirk Hammett would have eight arms.
Yeah, he would have eight arms. Well, he plays like he has eight arms. But it's Tanadorium, and it would all be 80s themed Metallica, but Indian food. And
I would fucking eat there.
And then we would have like all the dishes would be named after songs, but like with one Indian word in the song. So it would be like Janapanoon the fire. And you know, you're seek and destroy Nagang.
Seek and destroy, S-I-K-H.
Seek and destroy. It would be Tanadorium. Let's open it.
Yeah,
Metallica themed Indian restaurant. That'd be the most ridiculous thing. That's funny though. Like, it's the most ridiculous thing ever, but I feel like every new place that opens in LA is something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you had really good food, it would. Yeah.
It's a Fraggle Rock themed crepe bar. Oh shit, let's go to that. Yeah, it's like, yeah, you,
yeah, yeah. I heard there was a Golden Girls themed cafe in New York, and I was like, oh, I want to go to that.
Yeah, it's so
that
dumb.
Was such a well written show.
Yeah,
I'm in.
Yeah, like that has anything to do with like Bolivian cuisine.
Yeah,
yeah, you're just like, oh yeah,
and it's not even filmed in New York. Why is there a Golden Girls cafe in New York?
That would be weird.
Should be in Miami.
Well, that's like when they opened the Seinfeld thing, they put it in New York, and it's like, oh, technically it was filmed in Los Angeles. So.
Yeah. But Golden Girls is even set in Miami.
Oh, so it's not even set in New York.
Yeah, it makes
so that
no
makes
sense.
No sense whatsoever.
Yeah,
of course it's set in Miami. It's
retired
old
Joes.
Yeah, I bet they love Indian food because their chompies don't work like they used to. But this was is that what it does? Am I going to start sneezing from the Indian?
Oh yeah,
food?
You're going to die tonight.
Oh cool. I hope it cleans me out. I've been working out a lot, and like, you know how they say, if you drink a beer, it'll flush out your kidneys. I'm hoping Indian food does the same thing to my asshole.
It actually doesn't. I know that's the common
old wives tale.
Yeah. Is that Indian food gives you the shits, but it actually doesn't for me. And I think it's just because I eat a lot of spicy food.
Yeah. And it wasn't, I was actually a little disappointed.
Yeah. They didn't,
that it wasn't as like hot as advertised.
Yeah. That's a thing that'll really fluctuate with Indian places. Sometimes the super hot is just not that great. And other times I think if you order it in person, I think it's usually hotter because then you have a chef who's offended that a white person doesn't respect the heat level in their Indian cooking, and they're really going to test you. And that's what you want. You want to sweat.
Yeah, like, I do. I you know, like I said, it was like a little bit spicy tomato bisque.
Yeah,
was how that chicken tasted. So I want the hardcore shit.
Yeah. But I'm glad you liked it.
It was good. Yeah, it was really good. Oh, and I started to say, the other place I had the perfect plate of food, which is a good date place if you ever need it for...
Eh.
But it's called Cafe Firenze. It's in Moore Park, so it's like an hour outside of L.A.
Yeah.
But they do a New York strip steak with a red wine reduction on it.
Nice.
So it's like a red wine glaze. Then they do a pumpkin mashed potato. And then a sauteed garlic spinach with it. And when you get a little piece of all three of those on your fork at the same time, it's like the most perfect bite ever.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
There are very few places where I'm like scraping the plate like a piece of shit. And this is one of the places where I'm doing this where you lick your finger and you rub it on the plate and you're like you're putting cocaine on your teeth.
How does the red wine reduction pair with a good bottle of A1? That would be the question that would get me kicked out of that restaurant.
Yeah, I would pay for your meal to watch you deadpan ask that question in like a legit steakhouse.
Does this pair better with an A1 bold and spicy or a traditional A1?
Can we talk about that for a second? How did A1 become a thing? Like I never liked it.
I love
never
it.
Put it on steak. I know.
I love it on burgers.
You purchased an A1 bottle when you lived with me, and I was like, "What the? Not in this fucking house. What are you doing?" And you were like, "I love it." And then you know what I used to do? I used to put it on chips.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Before they made they make everything chips now. If you wanted like a shit jizz chip, that's out there somewhere. But they make like A1 chips and like. Every kind of chip you want. And they're weird. There's ones that are just like, this is pork lard from the inner teats. And it's like, okay, it's in a chip.
Pulled a nipple out of a bag of pork rinds?
No. Oh, no. Oh.
It happens sometimes.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, it's disturbing.
Was it a pig nipple?
Well, it's not going to be a human nipple.
Well, I mean, those things aren't supposed to have nipples. So I would not be shocked if it was a human nipple.
Yeah. Like a teat.
It's funny that you bring that up because I probably hadn't eaten pork rinds since I was like 11. And now, like, because we're trying not to eat a lot of carbs and a lot of sugar.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, pork rinds are like chips without the guilt. If you don't mind having 1 million grams of sodium, they're delicious.
Pork rinds are a huge loophole when it comes to low carb diets.
Oh, it's amazing.
Because you can pound a whole bag of them.
Oh, yeah. We
guilt-free.
Pounded 3 bags of them already this week.
Because it's just deep fried bacon.
Yeah, but it does quench that thirst for like a crispy snack food.
Yeah, I like the really crunchy pork rinds, the cracklings.
Oh, see, I don't like those. Oh, I'll save them and bring them to you now.
I'll take
save you the cracklings. I like the fluffy ones.
Oh, those. I mean, those are good too. Yeah, I do. I like pork rinds.
They're great. There's a real gap in the pork rind market. So I was just talking about how many goddamn chip selections there are between the four grocery stores in our neighborhood. The only Walmart has more than one kind of pork rind, and they're the only place that has a flavored pork rind that's barbecue.
Oh. Yeah,
barbecue pork rinds are the best pork rinds I've had. But there's got to be like other companies.
You're going to want to hit a high crime neighborhood,
okay,
to get some good pork rinds.
All right.
That's where they have
them. I'm going to walk into a
Yum's. Just facts.
I'm just going to go into facts. One of these and they're going to go, you're here for the pork rinds, aren't you?
Yeah, either that or wait for some bullshit artisan pork rind store to open in Los Angeles.
Found where my money's going. It's going to be called bullshit artisan pork rinds.
Why doesn't the pork rind industry push that low carb thing more?
I have no idea.
I mean, because it would be horribly irresponsible because the sodium is going to kill you.
Well, not necessarily. Not if you're like, it can't be your whole diet.
Yeah.
But like if you're doing a ketogenic diet, that kind of sodium isn't bad for you.
And how great would that be to see people eating their fucking like lettuce wrap burger
and then
with a side of pork cracklings?
Right. I love it.
I'm healthy.
I think it's the greatest thing you could ever. It's the greatest contradiction that we're eating rendered animal fat.
Yeah.
And we're like, this is because I can't have chips.
Making me hungry for pork rinds.
I know. I really. And you're right. The best pork rinds I've ever had have always been from places where you're like, are we going to get shot here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like gas stations.
That's like, where you find the cracklins.
You just like to say cracklins.
There's a particular brand called cracklins.
This episode is going to be called Release the Cracklins.
They make a spicy cracklin.
Oh, I love spicy.
You're living if you're eating a spicy cracklin.
Yeah, that's what I want. I want like a red hot. Yeah. Version of pork rinds.
That's what spicy crack.
Remember Red Hot Hers or whatever? Do you remember those chips?
Yeah, Hers is one brand. I think that you were on the East Coast.
Hers
is a brand out there.
But then
for me it was Red Hot J's, not Lay's.
Oh, okay.
J's. For me was like the Hers of the Midwest.
Yeah, I'm trying. There's Mendocino Farms here in L.A. I go there. It's a good sandwich place. They have like a Mama Zumas or some shit, like hot, but it's like a red hot chip. And I get those every time I go because it's the only place that has like hot chips like that. I love that stuff. We'll take a break. This next commercial probably has nothing to do with chips, but
probably not.
I'll let it play anyway. How great would it be if that did have something to do with chips?
Yeah.
That would be well timed.
If it was specifically for those Mendocino
Farms. How great
Farms
would it be
chips?
If it was an ad for like how bad pork is for you? That's what I think is hilarious about the way the ads work for our show is that like I have no like I'm on a program where they just pair ads with the show.
Yeah.
And I get money every time people listen and there's ads in it. But like I don't sign off on the ads. One of the funniest things ever was like I did an episode. We started talking like midway through the episode about how ridiculous Bernie Sanders was as a candidate. And the ad cut right there was an ad for Bernie Sanders, which probably made it seem like the most Andy Kaufman episode of a podcast ever, where we're just like, that Bernie Sanders would make a horrible president. And like, we'll be right back. And it was like, Bernie Sanders for president. It was the most, I don't know who's working the levers over there at Blog Talk Radio, but
yeah,
it was
that feels
funny.
Personal. I feel like that was a Bernie bro.
Yeah, that was
who heard that and was like, oh yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to put
check out this ad.
Yeah, but it just makes us look like brilliant comedians and nobody's going to know who did that.
Speaking of brilliant comedy, this happened when I lived in Peoria when I was still in high school. But we had a rap and R&B radio station, which was exciting. It was B93.
And they're always B.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what's up with that.
Yeah, B96. I don't know what that means. What is Black.
Oh,
God damn. What the hell, terrestrial radio? You've been sneaking that one by us for 50 years. Was it like that way in old time radio, like 20s? We'll be right back here on B.
Well, all the other ones are usually
Rhythm and Blues.
The other it's usually B or W.
What's the W? Oh my God! All the white stations are WMKZ. What the hell? That is, you're labeling them black and white.
But I don't know, do B stations what have the Q? W in
what
front of it?
What is Q? Is that for Latin?
See, I think actually all stations have W in front of it, which is even more fitting if you think about it.
Yeah, well, who's pulling? Who's really at the top of that heap? Who's pulling the strings?
But we had a rapid R&B station, and it was prom night for all of the high schools. There were only four or five high schools in Peoria, and they did prom all at the same time, which was actually inconvenient if you went, but whatever. The DJ brought up that it was prom weekend and was like, and just remember, just because it's prom doesn't mean you have to go out and get drunk or drink and drive or, you know, just be safe out there. And they cut to a song, and it was Gin and Juice.
Oh, my God. That's like exactly what we're talking about.
It was, she came back on after that song and was like, I am so sorry. I did not know that was the next song.
Yeah, it's, gonna play. I love that when it's like, that could be a whole show of like, here are moments where poorly placed advertising has completely destroyed a message
yeah.
in a TV program. Where it's like, it would be like if you were watching an after school special about like underage non-marital sex, unprotected sex.
Yeah.
It's like, don't do it. Abstinence is the best policy. And then it's like, Trojan Man comes like right after that. He's like, if you're going to fuck, though, use these.
That would happen.
Paid for this ad.
That would happen to us at Cracked because we had an ad when I worked at Cracked. I don't fucking work there now. But they had an ad unit.
Can you put a candy hallway in this place, by the way? It's really bothering
me. Did
you
see all the candy someone sent us?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I had some when I was here last week.
It was supposed to be.
I wanted in dispensers on the wall.
It was supposed to be a new candy hallway, but it just turned into a candy box that we all raided in like a week.
Listen, March of the Pigs listeners. The Unpops listeners have done a ton of shit to make this studio happen. I think the very least we can do is some candy dispensers. Get on it. I want the kind, not like a little shitty ones. I want like stainless steel and glass, and you put your hand on it and it goes, it's got to make that noise of candies falling into your hand. And I want ones that can accommodate full-size Snickers.
I want a vending machine.
Okay, well, we don't need a vending. Actually, that would be the shit.
Remember Ice-T's episode of MTV Cribs? He had a vending machine.
Watch it right now.
He had a vending machine, and he was like, you know, I have all these fucking people coming to my house all the time wanting to eat my snacks. And now when people come over and they're like, hey, man, do you have snacks? He's like, yeah.
$1.50.
Vending machine.
That is the dopest shit I've ever heard of.
If I'm not mistaken, he might have also had a payphone because it was like early 90s.
And that's why Ice-T is one of the few rappers who hasn't gone broke.
Yeah.
Because every time you go over there, you're like, man, you got Hennessy. He's like, yes, his third machine from the left. It's like
there's a cash bar in the basement.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, you got a cup of coffee? He's like, yeah, go around the corner. There's a Starbucks in his house.
Tommy Lee had a Starbucks in his house.
Did he really?
I thought MTV Cribs was an amazing fucking show.
Yeah, why? Where did that go?
I don't know. It's probably still on.
We still want to see how rich people be living.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
One of my favorite Cribs was Alien Ant Farm because they hadn't moved out of their mom's place yet.
Oh, really?
And then they just did it with like their shitty, like, he's where I sleep. And it's like a sleeping bag in the corner of his room.
Yeah, Redman did his from a townhouse.
I saw that.
Shitty neighborhood.
Yeah, it was in New Jersey. Yeah, I saw the Redman one.
Yeah,
that's like a famous one.
He had a dollar box. And when that came on, I was so poor at the time. I was like, damn, he's got a dollar box?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to live there. That would have been a step up.
Yeah, it's pretty bad when you're looking at people's ironic interpretation of Cribs. It's like, I'd live there.
Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah, that's how I feel now when I watch those shows on other Scripps networks. Like, I watch HGTV and stuff now. And because it's on at the gym all the time. And I watch that Flip or Flop with the couple that's getting divorced now or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, they're like, this piece of shit was $300,000, and we're going to put this little investment into it. We're going to sell it for $400,000. And these aren't in, like, Mississippi. These are in, like, Orange County or Anaheim or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I would live there for $600,000.
Yeah, no
like,
shit.
I would definitely buy that. Can you build one of those in Burbank?
There's a house in the Mojave Desert, which sounds so remote, but it's, like, what, an hour from here?
Yeah, it's not far.
that is built on top of a hill, and it looks like a UFO.
Oh, you showed me this
before. Yeah, and it went on sale not that long ago, and it was like 600,000. Like,
yeah,
I'd maybe live in the UFO house in the Mojave Desert. Yeah, for that
weren't
money.
Weren't we also talking about what if you bought it and then you found out that should be a movie? What if you bought it and it was an actual UFO buried in the ground, and like you open the basement, and all of a sudden aliens? You're just
that would
Area
be great.
50, well, that'd be amazing.
That the podcast, the things that would do for the podcast, if I just had fucking aliens on every week as guests.
Yeah.
Like, tell me what your planet's like.
Yeah. And just, and then
you getting this on Marin? Probably not.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Aaron or Marin with his Earth guest.
Oh, you got Springsteen?
Oh, yeah. Pussy.
I got the ruler of another galaxy.
I got Bleak Blork. did you get Bleak Blork? Oh, you had Obama? Suck it. I'd just be on there like, listen, when you guys barbecue, can I come over and do an episode? I'll eat, or they just eat human. That would be uncomfortable.
Well, I mean, it depends on how they hook it up.
That would be funny. It'd be a funny thing, like 100 years down the road, just fully integrated with aliens. I'm like, how do you not know you like human, bro? You never try? Oh, you're made of human. What a pussy, huh? You don't eat your own people? It's delicious. Like, what if cannibalism is the shit? We're just all too weird about it.
Animals don't get weird about it.
No, they do. Do they eat each other themselves?
I feel like you throw a steak at a cow.
It'll eat it?
That steak.
Oh, man. You're going to get the vegan people all over us. They're talking about feeding cows to cows.
That's like a running bit in... Did you ever see the Vacation remake?
No,
it's actually really.
Oh no! Yeah, I did see the Vacation remake. Yeah,
and there's a scene where
Ed Helms, right?
Yeah, where they go to a ranch where there's cows, and there's this one cow, and they're eating beef ribs, and this cow just walks up on the patio, and he just feeds him.
Oh yeah, I remember that scene.
Yeah, it's Thor.
Yeah, it was Chris Hemsworth.
yeah,
he's just feeding it ribs. Yeah, I remember that. Wasn't there another movie where like a kid had a pet chicken as part of like a hazing? And then he accidentally fed it like chicken nuggets, and then he got like an environmentalist ban from the college or something because of it.
I don't remember.
Oh god, it was like a Van Wilder or some type of movie like that, where he had a pet chicken as part of his fraternity's hazing, and then he fed it chicken nuggets, and like he had these animal activist groups after him.
That's funny.
It was something political. It was it was like one of those movies where somebody's running for a political thing, and they were in. I don't know. I don't.
And then titties.
Yeah. And then, remember when comedies were just, that was it? Just shenanigans and tits?
Yeah.
They don't make them like that anymore.
They really don't.
What happened to titty comedies? That used to be a genre. They didn't have it labeled like that in Blockbuster.
But it might as well have been. Like American Pie was.
Was a titty comedy.
That
was probably the last. Van Wilder, American Pie, Road Trip. Those were like the last titty comedies.
Yeah.
That was it.
I think they called them bro comedies back then.
Well, that's what they call them now. Because, like, why is that the thing? Somebody said that about me on the internet. They were like, the show was on Food Network, and they go, ugh, what a normie, what a cisgendered normie bro.
Yeah.
They called me, and I was just like, what is that? Like,
that's happening a lot.
Like, I'm like,
the Tea Party left.
It is the left tea. That's a great way to put Tea Party left. The Green Tea Party. We just dubbed it right here. Fucking Green Tea Party. That is what they're like so far the other way.
Yeah, it's intense.
Like, it's like left fascism.
It's really intense.
It's literally like, oh, what are you like, pussy, you fucking
That's
Nazi?
Why I don't discriminate when it comes to like blocking people or now that unfollowing is a thing, that's such a blessing.
Yeah, because you can just choose to change the channel without getting into a whole thing about
right
it.
And
it's like trying to cancel your cable and they're like, but we really want you to stay at DirecTV. You're like, I don't transfer me 8 times, just shut it down.
Yeah,
that's what
I have unfollowed people on both sides.
I have too, just because I don't care what you believe. That doesn't mean I want to read it every day.
Yeah, and even then, it's like, I don't know. It's hard to explain. Trump's America, am I right?
Well, it's just like...
Let's eat Indian food while we can.
Yeah, that's true. They won't allow it anymore. But yeah, that is one of those things. It's not just that. It's like anybody whose whole feed turns into some kind of cause, like This might come off very coarse, which I probably could have said a million times in my lifetime. But I don't care about your causes. Like, if I'm into your cause, then we're going to be on the same cause websites. We're going to be working with the same charities. We're going to be doing those things. But, like, let people find those things organically. Because the problem is, like, all these causes, when you're just beating the drum about something, and I would say, like, a cause could be anything from, like, pushing a charity to this, like, we got to march on Washington, like, that kind of stuff. Where it's just, when that overloads your feed, that I can't do it anymore. By the way, I have a friend that I just unfollowed on Snapchat and Instagram because she just became vegan overnight, and it's all just like pig slaughtering videos on YouTube. And I'm just like, I don't want to see that. And she's like, oh, well, you know, it's your ignorance that allows you to eat meat. I go, no, it's fucking my palate that allows me to eat meat. I've tasted it. It's delicious. And the problem,
it really is.
And the problem, by the way, we're supposed to eat it. We have sharp teeth in our mouths so we can eat animals.
Right.
Like, that didn't just happen. We weren't brontosauruses. You know what I mean? Like, well, maybe I do know some people that have all flat teeth, and that's creepy as shit.
Yeah.
But you have incisors in your mouth for eating flesh. So obviously we were supposed to do that. And if we weren't, we wouldn't be able to digest it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, corn is probably worse for you than meat. Because your body doesn't break it down.
It sure doesn't.
No, it just comes out.
I ate
out.
A lot of corn.
I shit a whole cob this morning.
Yeah, that, yeah.
Kevin Cobb. Do you remember him? Shit him straight out. No, but, so I was just like, oh, you can be vegan. That's fine. And we'll still be friends. But I'm not checking in on you every day if that's what your shit is.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not subscribing to you. And that's the thing that I think people are going to have to realize is, now that the internet has given everybody a voice, you're really going to understand how much people like yours or do not.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because
you're just going to, people. And I think they should show you not how many people have I guess they do if you have a page, but they should show you how many people follow you versus how many friends you have. Because if that number is extremely disproportionate, you suck.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you're friends with 1,000 people on Facebook and you only have 300 of them following you, shut the fuck up. I think the people have spoken. Your ideas are garbage. Do you know what I mean? It's like low TV ratings.
Yeah.
We should be able to cancel people that don't get a high enough viewership. Just, nope, I'm sorry. You're not coming back for next season, Bill. We got to shut it down. The numbers aren't there.
No Facebook page for you.
Yeah, you don't get to have a voice. Cut his throat out. Ugh. Well, with that nice little segment, we'll cut to this last ad, and we'll come back and wrap this thing up.
It's an ad for cutting Bill's throat.
Are you sick of Bill's shit? Well, once we get to a certain listenership, they let me read the ads, which I can't wait for that.
Oh, yeah?
I can do live reads at a certain listenership, and I'm like, I'm excited. Let's do that. Let's do that.
Nice.
I would read them where I'm just shitting on the sponsors the entire time. And what are you going to do? Ugh, that product sucked. No.
Yeah, fuck that product.
Yeah, I don't know why. It's like this actual podcast company's ad. Who knows what it is? Depends. I guess it all depends. Undergarments.
Yeah.
Fuck Bill. I think we've made that clear.
Fucking Bill.
But I agree with you. It's just, it's that unfollow thing is a blessing. But it's like, sometimes I sit there, like, I don't know if you've ever had this where you've seen one where somebody is like, they're going off. And I just want to be like, I sit there and I go, what is your day like?
Yeah.
Like, do you not have anything? Cause like I sometimes I'll sit down and I'll start to write or something for the day. And I'm like, I don't have fucking time for this.
Yeah.
I got to go to the gym. I got to go shop. I got to go grocery shopping. I got to go run like 3 errands. I got to pay bills. Like, and then I've got a show tonight. It's like, I can't. Where's the time?
Yeah. I don't know where people get the social media time that they have.
Like,
it's
insane. Some people print, like, I bet that you have people that you're friends with on Facebook that have written the equivalent of like 4 books.
Oh, yeah.
In probably. In terms of words in the last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're not writers and they shouldn't be.
No, no, no.
But that's just, they're just like spewing and spewing. And it's like, is this entertain? Like, also, too, this is one of the things that I really don't understand, and maybe you have an opinion about it. like, I understand there are things wrong with the world. And the example I give all the time is, like, we talk about racism and systemic racism. And I have most of my closest black friends agree with me on this. But when I make new black friends, they have a hard time understanding this point of view. And I go, if you wake up every day and you believe that the world is rigged against you, how does that help you? How does that help your mentality when it comes to starting new projects, looking for ways to make your life better, to be a happier person, to have a job that you're passionate about, to have good relationships with people? You're literally waking up every day and going, the world will prevent me from having happiness.
Yeah.
And now where do I start from there? And it's like, that's a horrible starting point. So if you're so worked up about these negative things, like, I understand you feel that they need to be fixed, but there's a level there where it's got a healthy amount of your time. There's a healthy amount of your time, but unless it's your business or it's where you're going to put your, it's your life's work.
Yeah.
You're letting something that you feel negative about affect your whole day.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the problem, left or right. Like, I have friends on both sides like you, where I'm just like, you're spending so much time on this that you either need to make a career change into it, if that's what you're most passionate about, or you need to, like, stop and take stock of your life and go, this is not who I am. Like, I'm not a politics guy.
Yeah.
I'm not a, you know, whatever it is. I'm not a gym guy. Whatever you're spending your time obsessing about, if it's not the thing you love the most. And that's why I get so mad at comedians, because I'm like, you're spending all your time writing this shit and not good comedy, and you're not out doing comedy. And I'm reading your shit, and so I'm not any better, because I should be out doing comedy too, because that's the thing I'm most passionate about. Or eating. or that. I think I do plenty of that. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I feel like at some point,
not to be overly positive guy, but
social media posts, like, they're fine, but it's not, for one thing, they don't really accomplish that much.
No.
Especially if you're, you know, posting just to your friend's group. Like, social media posts aren't changing anyone's fucking mind. You know?
No.
Even if you have a bunch of Trump followers in your social media feed, the world just doesn't work that way. Motherfuckers aren't making voting decisions because they didn't get
the
right
Facebook
links from your Facebook page.
Right.
Like, people vote for really deeply ingrained reasons. We shouldn't want people to vote. Just like when people are like, oh, there's so much fake news on Facebook. Well, fuck you for getting your news from Facebook, dummy. It's not a fucking news organization.
But, and it's also just as ridiculous to be like, there's so much fake news on the news. And it's like, you're dumb from getting all your information from one place, period. If that's the way if I told you that the healthiest way for you to live is to eat from the same restaurant every day, you'd go, that's fucking insane.
Right.
But that's what you're telling me is the healthiest thing for your mind, is to get all of your information from the same place. So, like, yeah, get a little bit of Fox News. But get a little bit of MSNBC too. Sprinkle some Alex Jones in there, because that's going to give you a different perspective as well. Even if, like, I'll listen to Alex Jones and I'll be like, crazy, crazy, crazy. That's a good point. Crazy, crazy. There's something in there for everybody. But these people that get all their information from one place are no more ridiculous than somebody who goes, I'm just going to eat McDonald's every day for the rest of my life for every meal, and we'll see how I come out. Like, you're not going to have a good life.
If you really... I personally think the best place to read about American politics is in foreign publications.
Like Al Jazeera and stuff?
Al Jazeera, The Guardian, The Economist.
Well, because they're truly objective.
Yeah, because, like, if you read even
if they hate us, they're probably doing it objectively.
If you read an article...
It's not based on our politics.
Well, not just that, but because that's the thing. They don't enter into stories about American politics with a side
right
in the fight.
They don't have a horse in it.
So you won't read it either as a... You might not agree with the information being presented, which absolutely does not make it fake news, which I think is a thing that's happening too much now.
Oh, where the subjectivity makes people just throw the baby out with the bathwater, and they're just like, well, none of that's good information because some of it's biased.
Yeah, well, I disagree with it, so that's fake news.
Right.
But... publications like that, you won't see them bashing. I mean, they're bashing Donald Trump, but who the fuck isn't?
Right.
But
Well, and where he comes out, and he's, this is where the guy's a problem, because what he should come out and say is, don't come out and say the media is America's enemy and they're giving you fake news. Come out and just say, it's pretty clear that the media has an agenda to take me down. So take that into consideration when you listen to certain people speak. But that's a whole different message than the news is fake. And, and they're your enemy, America. Like, that's, and it, you're being crazy with statements like that.
And like even that statement would be kind of crazy, because it's not that, I don't think it's that the media has an agenda to take him down. He's just a terrible fucking president. Wow. And a lot of people are really bothered by that.
Yeah.
And when you have a terrible president in office, that's going to be the news. Because that's news.
Yeah, but don't you think he's also sort of reflective of terrible people?
He might be, but I don't give a shit about that, because those people aren't running the country.
Well, they are now.
Yeah, that's the
thing.
They
got in.
But what he's reflective of, like, any of that doesn't matter. I just want him out of office.
Oh, I'm sure he wants himself out of office.
Good.
I can't imagine a guy who wants to be like that much is digging it right now.
Yeah. And I don't get people who support Trump. How are you cool with this Russia thing? Like, what the fuck?
Russia's pretty racist, if you've ever been.
Yeah, but still, like, if you think you're voting because that candidate is going to make America great again, and he has ties to Russia like that, how the fuck do you justify those two things?
Well, I think people distance themselves from that. Like, that's, so when you talk about,
which is insane,
which is like, but that's where it's sort of like selective hearing.
Yeah, it's compartmentalized thinking.
It happens on both sides. It's like, it's also like when there's things that we talk about in his policies where we're like, that actually would be pretty good for America. The people on the other side ignore all of those, and they just focus.
Well,
on
the problem is,
there are some really great ideas, like, you know, I mentioned on the Unpops episode I did with you and Jeff not that long ago. Like, what if one of the things we don't understand, or that could potentially happen, which nobody really thinks will happen, but what if one of the things that comes up is we're shutting down the immigration, or we're trying to limit immigration because we're going to take away, or we're going to free nonviolent drug offenders from prisons who are probably being improperly held?
That's not going to happen.
Again, like you said that last time, but I'm saying there are these other things that could be silver linings to. You just kind of got. I mean, my here's my thing. I'm not saying what anyone has to do. My thing is like, listen. It's going to come to one or two points. One, the point I'm at now is doesn't really affect me to the point where I am inspired to get involved, or I feel like I have to get involved. And people will say, that's your white privilege, whatever the fuck you want to attribute that to. It hasn't come to my doorstep yet to the point where I'm going to get involved. And I feel like unless you're at the point where you're ready to take up arms and charge the Capitol, it's not affecting you to the point where you should be obsessing about it either.
And now, so that, me, I disagree with, because when it gets to the point where you're storming the Capitol, it's gotten... That means all of your other channels for handling a problem that we have channels in place to handle have collapsed. Because if the outrage gets to that point...
Well, so you're saying like, if it gets to that point, that's because the Senate and the Congress...
Yeah,
it
means Supreme all Court the other available channels have
failed
us.
But that's part of the reason why I have faith that it won't get too far out of hand, because we have those other branches of government that I think... And I do think at some point... The American military would step in and go, nah. I mean, you got to realize most of the military in this country is non-white.
Yeah, but yeah, I also don't.
So when people are like, oh, you know, it's going to get to that point where there's like martial law, and it's, you know, you've got a whole group of American soldiers there that I think have an idea of what America is. And if the agenda that gets forced down their throats isn't what they believe in, I think they'll become a militia, not a military.
I think if it,
I know a lot of people in the military, and that's just where that sentiment comes from.
I think if it came from the military, I think Russia would be more the thing to trigger it, because that's why you're getting the intelligence community now leaking information about cabinet officials in, you know, dealing with Russia, because it's, you know, that's where, if you're someone who actually works for the United States government and does it from a place of, oh, well, I love this country, which is something a lot of higher ranking military officials, that's them.
Yeah.
Like if he starts really offending those people with, and I feel like Russia would be more offensive to them. Like the thought of the Russian government intervening in our government would be more offensive to our military than just racism stuff.
Sure.
And that's where I feel like if this Russia thing really gets out of hand, I could see the military stepping in and being like, what do you want us to do? We're not going to have this guy in office.
Right.
Like, do you want to remove him, or yeah. do we want to remove
or
him?
Or do we have to?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what
which by the way, is the only way a coup ever works. Like right. in Egypt, it was great that people took to the town square, but it meant nothing until the military was yeah. like, oh yeah, they're right. Let's get this guy.
Yeah. We're on that side too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the side with the guns is the side that's going to win.
Yeah.
I mean, and the training. Cause like, you know, if somebody handed you and me machine guns tomorrow and was like, we're going, I'd be like,
yeah,
fuck that. Is there a supervisor position that I can step in? That's more my speed.
That's why protests, like I get protests are great, but a protest that's scheduled to start and end at a certain time isn't going to accomplish a fucking thing.
Well, the other thing, too, that I don't like about protests, I wanted to make this tweet the other day. I was like, 4 days of rain in a row must mean that God is sick of your fucking whining, too. but yeah, in Los Angeles. But the thing I don't get about protest is like when you're obstructing the things that aren't involved with what you're protesting.
Yeah.
So like, don't block traffic at fucking Hollywood and Vine.
Yeah.
For something that should be taking place at the municipal buildings downtown or vice versa. Like
right.
you wouldn't do a fucking Hollywood studio strike in Marina Del Rey.
Right.
You do it at the place where it has an effect. So like that's the thing it's like chaos, organized chaos.
Yeah.
There's not a real organization to it. It's sloppy. It's just like, and the thing that bothers me is it becomes this. The problem with the way protests work today is they're almost more like flash mobs. So like they go, they're down there protesting the Dakota Access Pipeline. And then like 40 people that are friends in this other group on Facebook go, well, let's go down there and protest for this shit on top of it.
Yeah.
And then nobody's message is heard because you got 14 different things going on in the same group of people
yeah.
that are the only thing bringing them together is anger.
Yeah.
That's not productive.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, and that's the whole thing. My whole thing about even bringing up anything political in the first place is that, you know, it, again, unless it's your industry or it's something that you're genuinely passionate enough about to where you're thinking of changing courses and you're making that your thing. Like, if it's something that angers you every day, it's like, don't wake up and obsess about things that anger you every day. That's not healthy.
Yeah.
You're going to have a fucking stroke.
Yeah. But I think Trump brings that out of people because, yeah, like you said, it hasn't come to your door yet. So it's yeah. different for you. But if you even just have a lot of friends who
I don't
like deportation is going to impact, like, That's a reason to care.
Yeah,
like
it can't just be
it's not affecting me, so I don't care. That's how like the fucking Holocaust happened, you know?
I guess. I mean, but you know, we're not talking about nobody's come out and said we need to execute a race of people.
Yeah, but neither did Hitler at first.
Yeah.
Like that's not how it works. It never works like that unless you're Duterte, who fucking campaigned on it and was like, I'm going to kill 100,000 people in my first 6 months
yeah.
and dump them in Manila Bay
yeah.
and people voted for it. But other than that, dictators don't rise up and go like,
I want to be dumped in Manila Bay when I die. That's where I want to go.
You will find no campaign speeches where Hitler was like, first order of business, we're going to kill 6 million Jews.
Yeah.
That was a progression that resulted from something that's very similar to what's happening now, which is a huge
the economical impact of a race of people on a society.
No,
right?
The refugee crisis.
Oh, okay.
Hitler created such a refugee crisis.
I'm so excited to see how this ties into food, but continue. No,
well, so many Jews starved.
Oh, okay.
Well, but so there's that.
That's all. Now we're back on brand. No.
But yeah, it just like Nazi Germany created a refugee crisis. all of these countries were up in arms about who was going to take them. We weren't going to take them. Like, the United States didn't want to take in Jews. And there eventually was nowhere for them to go. So Hitler built camps and fucking murdered them.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening to Muslims right now. That's why this travel ban, which I've said it before, me and you could get attacked by a shark in this fucking room. That would be more likely than us dying in a terrorist attack in the United States.
Yeah.
That shit barely fucking happens. And when it does, it's a tragedy. I get it. But shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Worry about goddamn texting and driving if you want to cut the death rate in this country.
Yeah, that's a very good point, because that definitely is on my doorstep, and that does anger me.
Yeah, but then you'll still get states who are like, it's personal freedom. People should be able to text and drive. It's like, you should all die in car accidents is what should happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think at some point, well, the way I split our government is into our things, not even left and right. I think there's people that want us to govern ideologically. There are people that want us to govern based on the way people should be. And they think we need the government to help along the way and say, guys, I know we are this way, but we kind of got to be this way. So we got to create some rules and things in place to kind of shepherd us towards a better society.
Yeah.
And then there's the other side, which is realistic, which would be more the right side. I don't mean right is incorrect, but like more conservative, is that, listen, people are fucking horrible animals. We've been savages for thousands of years. We know how we are as a species, and we have to govern based on that. And the truth, as you could say about any debate, is somewhere in the middle. We've got to have a reasonable coming together of, we got to mitigate some of the concerns of how people are, but yeah, we also have to kind of work towards some better things for the future as well.
What drives me insane
the problem is right now the realism side has come down, and we're governing in the worst possible way, where we're saying a couple of these people are bad, so we have to treat them like everybody's fucking bad, and we've got to govern worst case scenario. And
yeah,
and that's basically all that's happening right now. But we can't govern best case scenario either, which is, I think, how people felt the previous regime was like, well, if we're nice to everybody, they'll be nice to us back. And we know that's not the case. So, my politics usually are right in the middle as a libertarian. But that's, I feel like the emotions behind both of those viewpoints are really what's fueling all this fire right now, is because both sides are kind of in this tug of war, pushing back and forth of like, we're so far away from what we should be aspiring to be as a society. And then there's this other group that's so passionate about, like, we are what we are. So, you know, some of the people in the world are evil and we got to treat them that way. But it's like, I think it's very easy to allow technology and communication to make this issue bigger than what it is. And to me, it's simply those two things.
Right.
It's what is human nature versus what is the evolution of human nature, and how do the smartest, best people push us in that direction? And the interesting thing, in a new way I've been thinking, is government has been our fucking government has been our Pied Piper for that for so long. And I think we're getting to a point as a culture on this planet where that's not the Pied Piper for ideals and for beliefs in the way we live amongst each
right.
other. Because we can kind of do that without a representative government now. You see it. You see people kind of all rowing in the same direction of what they believe without what the government's doing.
Right, but that's why Trump is such a problem. Because all of that unity that people, especially who either aren't impacted by Trump or who voted for Trump, all of that unity people are asking for now, Trump will never be a part of that. Trump is not going to make concessions to the other side.
100%.
So tell me all you want about how we need unity, but get Trump out of office first.
Well, yeah, but the problem, but it's like Hunger Games. You can't replace snow with coin. Like it's
so you fucking replace them all.
I think you have 4 years
subsequently kicking each new president out of office. That's what you get for voting for these incompetent pieces of shit.
I agree. But I think ultimately what we need to be going towards is a government where we don't have, like, to me, the president has become as ridiculous as the queen. You have a representative parliament over there that really is the acting government. We have that here with Congress, who's representative. You have a Congress, which is representative of population, or should be. And then you have a Senate, which is sort of an equal say per state. Right. If you're still going to have separate state governments, those two bodies should be fine. Those two bodies, a Senate could get together with the Congress people to decide what's right for states individually. And when we have bigger things, those groups should come together and majority should win on the issue.
Yeah.
That's it. That should be the system. The problem is the president makes one side always feel like they're either winning or losing. And so that you're bringing the human emotional shit into it. Now right. We're on teams and we're rooting for our team. We don't even fucking know why. If you get rid of the presidency, you get rid of teams. And there's no winning and losing. There's I live in a state that believes these things, and therefore our government is going to carry those ideals forward to the fucking the tribunal, whatever. Right. And those people are going to make our decisions for us. And we've elected them so. The problem is that. And I think if we get to a point where it's truly representative government, then that will be reflective of, you know, California believes this, so California's politicians will be representative of that. The problem is we've given too much power to the presidency, and it's really a position that should just be abolished.
Yeah. I'd be fine with that, too.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, it's more so... So I guess... My solution to all the arguing on both sides is like getting him out, getting a different person in, whatever. These are all band-aids on a bigger problem is that now that we can all talk to each other like that, we don't need as much middle management anymore. Yeah. Like we can all mostly agree on, look, most of the people where I live think this, and if I don't like it, I can stay in the United States and go to another place. It's more my speed.
Yeah.
We don't
for have, now we can do
we
that.
We don't have to all agree on the same shit as long as there's states with different ideals and you can compartmentalize it that way. I think we need to communicate less and try to put ourselves in positions where and geography will evolve with time. People go, "Well, you can't have that cuz you'll have north and south." Not true. Because you've seen it. I grew up in a part of the world that was extremely conservative when I was young cuz blue collar fucking yeah. racist area, and now it's one of the most liberal parts of the country. So all those geographical things will change.
Pennsylvania?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
They voted Trump.
I'm talking about Philadelphia specifically.
Oh, yeah.
Philadelphia was like as blue as your shirt.
Yeah.
But it would have been red back in the day.
Yeah.
Because it was such an industrial city. And now, and the civil rights and everything else, and now it's predominantly black. So like those generational things are going to change the ideological map of America from a geographic perspective. But yeah, to me, like it really is Hunger Games. It's like, we're saying this guy is horrible and he's starving people. And I don't give a shit whether he is or he isn't. Cause I know the solution isn't another one who just thinks the other shit.
Right.
Cause that side's going to think they win. And then the side who was on Trump's side is going to feel left out and neglected. And the reality is you will always have that. If there's a position that's just one dude who has to pick a team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the NFL has a commissioner, but that guy's job is to fucking take pictures and to step in and to give speeches. But the owners decide what happens in that league by majority vote. The country should be run the same way.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's just companies that run us right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, but I do think if you less shit to vote on, more focus on the voting that matters. So like, you know, if you're a state and you only have to worry about what's going on in your state to make sure that your state's doing its job in the national government, that allows people to be more involved and to be like, wait a minute, what are these special interests that are impacting?
Yeah.
You know, like the fact that Bernie Sanders doesn't like Lyft and Uber because he's like, well, they need to be more regulated. Meanwhile, one of his biggest campaign contributors is taxi unions.
Yeah.
So like they're all bought. Even Bernie Sanders is bought and paid for.
Like unions aren't a terrible thing.
I don't disagree about unions. But like when they're buying legislation with their constituents' dues, that's a problem.
Well, yeah, but
it's contradictory to capitalism.
Who else is arguing for unions? Like when people complain about the middle class disappearing, that's because Reagan destroyed labor unions. Like people act like labor unions are this like
Russell Buffalino killed labor unions when he murdered Jimmy Hoffa. But
yeah, well, no, it was Reagan. It was Reagan when he allowed
the same time frame
when Reagan threatened to fire the air traffic controllers if they didn't go back to work.
Yeah,
he basically ended unions in this country.
Right.
Because he up to that.
Well, the federal government should never be stepping into labor unions.
Well, it was a government. It was a government-controlled union. But up to that point, you could legally replace workers who were striking with, like, you could just fire them and replace them. But up to that point, it was like almost you might as well have committed murder in the eyes of the general public. Like, businesses just would not do it. And for Reagan to do it, that just signaled to every other business that, like, hey, even if we have a union, if you strike, we'll just fire you.
Yeah.
So he basically told corporations in this country that it's okay to bypass your unions, and that's why wages stopped going up.
Yeah, but I agree with that. I just think part of the problem, you and I've talked about this before, is that it's multi-tiered. You know, having caps on punitive damages where an employee can be like an employee can be fired at will, that's fine. We all agree that companies have the freedom to hire and fire they want. But if you do so illegally, that penalty really has to sting for them to change their ways.
Yeah.
Like, this Uber thing came out today about this girl who worked there, and she cited the sexism inside the company and the fucking double standard of how women were treated. And she raised a sexual harassment concern to her supervisors, and it was dismissed. And she raised it again. It was dismissed. Other women raised it. It was dismissed. And it's like, have you guys never fucking talked to an attorney in your entire life?
Yeah.
After the first incident was ignored, I would have immediately went and got a lawyer, and I would own Uber right now.
Yeah.
I would own it, because with a class action suit, 250,000, even if there is a cap on punitives, if you get 100 people together, that's a pretty big hit. You get 1,000 people together.
Yeah.
That's a really big hit. So, you know, that's a twofold problem. Is one, people aren't, they don't go out of their way to solve their problems using the parts of government that can be helpful that already are there to protect
us. But she might not have had money to file a lawsuit. She shouldn't have to file a lawsuit to fix that
but
problem.
That's based on the idea of how companies should run, and I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
But if they're deciding to run it,
but that's
it
why
shitty,
we have these regulations. Like, you're not supposed to be able to sexually harass people.
Correct.
In the workplace.
Correct. There's no disagreement from me there.
And you shouldn't have, like, that's a, like, you also, like, if her coworker was smoking at her desk, you wouldn't expect her to file a lawsuit to stop her coworker from smoking.
I wouldn't expect,
because we know now that you can't smoke in the fucking office.
I wouldn't expect her to have to.
So why are you mad that she didn't file a lawsuit against Uber? It's because Uber's a fucked up place. She shouldn't have to file a fucking lawsuit.
But I'm not saying, well,
this, how she's handling it now is great.
Just going to the press about it?
Yeah, why the fuck not?
Because it doesn't do anything for her.
I know it does everything against Uber, though.
Well, I mean,
at a time when they really don't need bad publicity, yeah, they have this.
I mean, from a capitalistic perspective, it should have the same effect. But why can't it be both? Why can't it be a lawsuit that hurts them financially with press involved that also hurts them publicly? The problem is,
maybe she doesn't want money out of it. Maybe she just wants them to be a better company.
It's not about that. Then you sue and you do something positive with the money and not keep it. The bottom line is the investors are not going to police this unless it affects the bottom line. That's the realistic approach.
Yeah, but getting an article out there that encourages people to stop using Uber.
But this is my point. Like, Ashton Kutcher probably doesn't believe in sexual harassment, but he ain't pulling his fucking $500 million out of that company until it affects him.
Yeah.
That's the reality of share. That's why this whole one world, one economy shit that the left wants you to believe they're all for, when it comes down to giving their money away, the Hollywood elite will not do it.
Yeah.
They won't do it. They'll be like, yeah, fucking tax the rich. Yeah. Corrupt rich CEO. Not my fucking money.
Yeah.
So that's the point, is like, you have to go after the money if you really want to affect change. And the problem is, you go, should somebody have to do that? Ideologically, no. But I can tell you, if enough companies get sued, people will just go, we can't fuck around. And investors
here's the problem.
Around.
What you're describing already happened. That already happened in the 80s. Motherfuckers already sued to get these situations fixed.
But that's when the whole caps thing came
so
in. That's when the whole caps regulation came in.
How many times do people have to sue before these companies stop being fucking pieces of shit?
Well, while there's caps on damages, a lot. Because nobody can cripple an industry that way anymore.
Yeah.
If you could cripple the industry, if you could absolutely cripple Uber with a lawsuit, that's a company with a $40 billion valuation. You would have to chop one of their legs out for it to really fucking matter.
Yeah.
Because then the board, and imagine even though they're the not money, even though they're not publicly traded, the board would come in and go, fucking get Travis out.
But imagine the money you'd have to have to mount that
you
lawsuit.
You don't have to have that money. Lawyers work on contingency. If I'm telling you right now, my lawyer, who's a great employment attorney, the opportunity to take 40% of that class action lawsuit, he would do that on contingency all day. Yeah. I didn't pay a dollar to sue the company I worked for before. Yeah. Not a dollar of my own money because I had a case. She yeah. absolutely, if every lawyer in the country is fucking angry at that woman reading that article going, why didn't you call me?
Yeah.
That's what they're there for. People like to shit on lawyers, but like, let them do their jobs.
Like maybe she just liked her job and wanted to keep it and just didn't want to have to be able to work under those conditions.
She said that. Okay. She said that in the article that I just wanted to go away. Well, guess what? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. If everyone just tucks tail and doesn't fucking fight for what they think is right.
But she was going through the proper channels at her company.
But only to the point of inside the company. When it's obvious that your company is not
right,
behaving
because
legally.
Because all those lawsuits you want already happened. Like she shouldn't have to go file a lawsuit in fucking 2017.
Well, I disagree. I think if it's happening to you, then that proves your point.
So
you're
you
wrong.
Think the only way corporations should be held accountable is if small people who can't afford it take them to court?
Well, first of all, you keep bringing up this can't afford it. Lawyers work on contingency with cases like that. You don't have to have money to sue somebody.
Okay. But
you think that's the way the world should work. No, I think
is that the only way to hold people accountable is to sue them.
Well, it's no. I'm saying the whole world doesn't need to be governed by her choices, but her world needs to be governed by her choices. And in a situation where she's being treated illegally, unfairly, and it's causing her to be unhappy, she could have done more to fix it, which would have had a larger impact on the world.
What if the government fined them for violating workplace regulations?
That's not the system we have in place, though.
No, that's the system we're supposed to have. You're supposed to get financial fines for violating regulations.
Right.
And if they're violating workplace regulations.
But that has to be proven in a civil court first. It has to be proven in a court first. The government can't just go, we hear you guys are sexually harassing, here's a fine.
But if she went up the chain each time and it was ignored each time, that would give you a paper trail.
But the problem with all that's what you have to take to the civil courts. You can't just go. There's not a governing body over companies that just goes, hey, we hear there's problems. That's what civil courts are for.
Yeah.
So like what you're saying is what I'm telling you she should have done. The steps of the ladder that go above your CEO is going to the fucking the labor board, the state labor board, and taking your concerns there. So like you can take your concerns to your work. You have to give them an adequate opportunity to fix the problem.
Yeah.
Because if you just go to a lawyer and they go, she never told us about it, your case gets thrown out.
Yeah.
Like this is not something I'm pontificating on. I've done it. So, and I've defended them on the corporate side as well from an operations perspective. So this is my fucking wheelhouse. If you go to court and you've got that paper trail, so everything she did was correct to the point where she gave up and just took another job.
Right.
That didn't fix anything. So these people that talk about the way the world should be need to take more action to changing it, not just sitting back and blogging about it.
Yeah.
She could have taken all of that, went to an attorney, and an attorney would have said, okay, here are the steps. You gave them adequate opportunity to fix it. There's a class situation here because there's multiple affected by this obvious rogue policy that breaks governing laws in California, which is one of the most liberal employment states in terms of the way they rule in favor of employees in these kinds of situations. So if anything, companies should be acting far more risk averse than these guys who are running that shit like Mad Max, where they're just, it's like fucking Mad Men over there, it sounds like. So her next step would have been to consult an attorney. An attorney would have put a team of attorneys together, would have gotten the entire class. And the only way companies can stop that from going to court is doing a thing called classing out a group. So what they do is they offer settlement checks to everybody affected in that class to dissolve the lawsuit. And the problem is that works because why? People don't care about what's right. They care about money.
Okay, so the way she's handling it is probably better.
No. The way she would have had to handle it is to have taken it through the lawsuit, made sure that the class did not take fucking class out settlements, and made sure they fought it all the way to the state Supreme Court.
She's not a goddamn lawyer.
That's what her lawyer's job is to do that she hires.
Yeah, You don't think Uber has any fucking accountability in this?
I'm not. When did I say that?
Like, why? I don't get why it has to be on her to fucking fix this fucking culture at her company.
It didn't have to be on her alone. It could have been on her and everybody else affected by it. But you got to get together and do something about it.
But these aren't Uber drivers. I don't even know how big an office we were talking about.
Yeah, but that's
like it could have just been her.
But that's my point, is like we're talking about people organizing in the streets for nonsense. And this is a real area where you could have affected change. And all you would have had to do is fucking get together 10 or 12 people from your department.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. You can't all go sit down with a lawyer and go, listen, we work for a company with a $40 billion valuation that's treating us like it's 1950.
Yeah.
And you don't think that lawyer would have went to a congressman and went to the press and said this $40 billion company.
And that case would have been settled eventually.
Yeah, potentially. But the press would have killed them.
The press could kill them now.
The problem is, you got to turn their investors against them. And the only way to do that is to go after the money. Because even the most sympathetic people don't give a shit until it really affects them.
Yeah. I mean, they got the American Apparel CEO out by leaking information to the press. Like, that's how his investors turned on him.
But that's a company that was already on their way out. Like, this is a company that's on its way up, and it's making people a lot of money. So if you're going to go after a growth market like an Uber, you got to come guns blazing. You can't fucking just write a blog. I promise you this shit's going to go away in 2 fucking weeks, and nobody's going to care about it.
Yeah, probably.
The shit that lasts is the sting of losing $20 billion in a fucking lawsuit and in legal. You know who doesn't work on contingency? Our defense lawyers.
Yeah.
So they would have absolutely gotten their skin taken out by having to defend this lawsuit. You have to make them defend it. And people go, oh, well, that would be drug out in court for years. Yeah, the fucking lawyers would love that. Because a lawyer in that case would make Uber pay their fees too. So it's like, no matter how you slice it, it's about what the lawsuit does to the company. It's not about getting rich yourself, because you're not. 40% is going to go to the attorneys. The other 60% is going to get whacked up amongst the class. And by the time the taxes are paid, you'll walk away with a smile and a handshake. But people need to, if you really want to fight, use the system that's in place now.
Yeah, that's how we stopped Trump.
But we didn't.
The system doesn't fucking work. That's what people are so mad about. But these are
different systems, though. You can't say the system doesn't work.
No, the legal system doesn't do shit for people.
Well, the civil legal system works because it deals with money.
Well, yeah. I mean, you still have to have, like, I get, like, it's more than just money investment.
But we're at a point, I think, where we just have to agree to disagree, because I've been through it and I can tell you it fucking works, and it makes companies change their policies.
Yeah.
It makes them operate differently because it's too expensive to break the law when that happens. Yeah. If you don't make it expensive for companies to break the law, they'll break the law.
Yeah.
That's it, because that's what they want to do. And obviously their leadership wants to run his company that way. And there are parts of America that go, he should fucking be allowed to. There shouldn't be any governance over that. I don't agree with that point of view. I do agree that if you agree to work somewhere, you should be able to work somewhere with equal opportunity. All those things are great laws that we need.
Right.
But that's what the civil court system is in place to do, is to defend those laws, civil liberties. So if you're not going to the civil court system to do their job, which is to protect you against companies, that's why the system's broken. You're not using it.
Yeah.
You're just not using it. I mean, there's no other way to debate that. If she had fought and lost, then that would be an indictment of the system.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But the problem is, and sometimes it could just be an indictment of that attorney's abilities. You could just have a shitty attorney. But I got to think, with a company like Uber, I don't know how a high-profile attorney like a Gloria Allred wouldn't have taken that case and put her on the news and been like, dude tried to fuck me at work and they're letting it happen.
Yeah.
And it's way bigger than a trending hashtag, or like, you've got to go for the jugular on those things. You're not going to take them down because it's too easy for me to go like this and to get a ride.
Yeah.
For people that are listening, I just tap my foot. I would rather be able to do this than care about you getting molested at work. And that's unfortunately so much of America. And I think a lot of the people that voted for Trump that aren't the racists or the bigots or the homophobes are the people that just go, yeah, that's the world we live in. We'd rather do this than care about other people.
Yeah.
And that guy's at least going to govern us based on that, which we believe to be true about how we are. And those
people will suffer in Trump's America eventually. And
well, everybody suffers in a world where we just decide we're not going to care about other people.
Yeah.
That's why I say it's got to be a little bit of both. It can't be like, yes, we do have to take action based on how we're behaving now, but we also have to work towards what we think we all want and what we think we all should be.
Yeah. A lot of people just like, we just need a good plague in this country. We need to be a few million lighter.
Yeah. Well,
it needs to be in the South.
Okay. I mean,
that's all.
I don't think there's a lot of traffic in the South. I would like for it to be right here.
Yeah. Well,
and if it takes me, thank God.
Oh, the things we do for parking in Los Angeles.
Yeah. But again, like it's at home. It affects you. I don't want the plague there. I want the plague here.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how much I would love not to have to circle the building 13 times when I'm going somewhere to figure out where I'm going to park my car?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So, but you know, good shit as always.
Yeah. It's a long episode.
Yeah, it's fine.
That happens a lot. Now that I have my own studio, that happens a lot. Like when I was recording at Cracked, like we were always like on the clock. And I like this better. You can like fucking...
You just run. I like to keep it like it is. Like keep it natural. If we end up getting into a political conversation, I want to allow that to happen.
Yeah.
If we end up derailing and talking about silly shit, I want that to happen too. But it should just be the flow. Like you should just go until you're tired of going anymore.
Yeah.
Until you're like, oh, I said all the shit I need to say.
Yeah, I agree.
But
I said all the shit I need to say.
Yeah. Well,
slap the microphone.
Also, you've got like 19 more of these to do this week. So
yeah.
I don't know how you do it, man. I don't know how you fucking...
It's a lot of work.
You don't ever run out of shit to talk about?
No, there's always news.
Yeah.
It's from working at Cracked and the process I use to write a column every week.
Well, you're used to high output.
Yeah. And it involved going through a lot of headlines. I dedicate one day each week. Like I'll let news headlines build up in this RSS reader, and I literally spend one day each week just going through
all of them,
hundreds of headlines.
Yeah,
because I have to.
Do you feel like that has like an adverse effect on like how your mind is occupied by that shit as the week goes on? Like, do you feel like it chips away at you at all?
No, because all our podcasts are like, they're kind of diverse. So I don't, it's not like
so I'm, some of it's used for some things. Some of it's
yeah.
used for,
I keep a big spreadsheet, but you can with all
compartmentalize it. Like even in your brain. Cause I feel like I don't have the ability to like read something and then put it away in my subconscious until I need it.
Oh, well, I mean, I just
like, I feel like that shit would pop up to where I'm doing a different podcast.
Oh yeah. That does sometimes
where you're
happen.
Just like, you're doing a like tonight, we're doing a podcast about food, and then we end up in a 30-minute thing about politics.
Yeah, I mean, that happens, but you just edit shit out.
Yeah, works I guess out. That works. I don't know, but I mean, in times where you're not recording, where it's just, I feel like if I got a lot of shit for this back when I did another podcast in the past, because I was just like, I don't read as much as a lot of people do, because I just can't, give the emotional energy to... I can't give my attention to that.
Yeah.
Like I would be a completely unproductive person if I was set to receive all that information.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm used to it.
That's impressive, man. I couldn't do it. I read like one thing and I'm just like, I need a nap. But it's good, man. It's good. And so we got Darkest Hour coming up
March 10th.
March 10th. A headliner for that is James Fritz.
Nice.
Who maybe we'll try to get on. Shit, we were going to try to get him on for a Darkest Hour podcast at some point.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know our timing for that.
I try to put him up right before the shows, or like the week
but
of.
But for the following month. So like if we're going to bring comics in.
Yeah, we should start doing that.
Yeah,
probably,
that's what I was thinking. Because I want to bring in some. It can't just be me, you, and Charles.
No.
It'll turn into a shit show at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly because of Charles.
Yeah, it's all Charles.
All his fault.
We should just replace Charles.
No, I like Charles. Charles is one of the few comics.
He's great.
He's one of the few comics in LA I can tolerate.
Yeah, Charles is awesome.
And he's a super like hears both sides kind of guy too.
Yeah,
I like their podcast for that reason.
I wouldn't know. I've never been on it. It's fine.
No. Well, I'll make a comment to him about it. Yeah, you know what it is? it's kind of weird. I get this too, but I think there are certain people he's intimidated to ask to be on their podcast, like doesn't think they're big enough for you to come do it.
Oh.
And I don't know if it's just...
I'll do any fucking podcast.
I know. Man. I feel the same way. Like, I have people, like, there's like an 18-year-old kid in Canada who's like, I do a food blog and a podcast, and would you? I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. I don't give a shit. If you have five listeners, I want your five listeners to know about my TV show. Like, I have absolutely no... I'm not about that. And I'll reach out to anybody, and I'm sure there are, like, celebrities I've reached out to do March of the Pigs that are like, fuck this kid.
Yeah.
But that's fine. I don't care about that. I don't want you on the show. But because there's been plenty of cool people that have done this show that I'm fine with. We're going to have one other thing in common. We're both going to be the two podcasters that have had a Casper on their show.
Oh, nice.
You are going to have Casper the Rapper, and I had Casper the Friendly Ghost, the actor who played him in the movie.
Oh, nice.
Devin Sawa. So that's one other thing we have in common. But I just announced, before we wrap this up, I just announced the dates for season 1B, whatever the fuck you're calling it, for Ginormous Food, doing Atlanta. We got three places coming up. We're doing, I think, a barbecue place. We're doing Henry's. Just go to my page, joshdennycomedy.com, to check out when we're going to be where. But we're going to be in Atlanta, Columbia, South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, and Jacksonville in the next 4 weeks. So if you're listening to this the week we put it out, go to my page, subscribe to the calendar, and come hang out with us while we do that. And in the meantime, go to unpops.com, check out Adam's stuff.
Yep.
And that's that.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.